This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
And it's my privilege to speak from this parable recorded by Luke in chapter 18. It'd be good to have that open for you as we look at it. But let me pray first before we do that. Dear Lord and Father, I pray as we look at this parable, that you would teach us from it, and by your Spirit you would help us to apply it to our lives. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to you all. I'm not sure that I'm really go along with all the fuss that we make over New Year. I don't know about you. It doesn't seem anything magical about January the 1st, you know. It's just another day. Yet we stay up till midnight whooping and hollering, and we're letting off fireworks, and, well, you might, I didn't. But just because the date changes by one digit, you know, what's the big deal? But then again, there is something good about reflecting on the year that has passed and thinking about the year that's coming up, we're in. And then considering, you know, what we might change. Sort of like a reset, if you know what I mean. But of course, we don't know what's going to happen in this year. So it is good to consider things, isn't it? In particular, good to look at some of the basic truths of the Christian faith. And it's one of those truths which Jesus teaches in this parable. Jesus doesn't teach everything in each of the parables. He shows one or two truths which then point to the whole truth of the gospel. But before we look at this parable, let me tell you a funny story. Now, some of you may have heard this story before because I've said it before. So if you have, then maybe you would act like you didn't and then laugh at the appropriate point. So there was this older couple, a man and a wife, and they were suffering from things that you do when you get older, and the husband had come to the conclusion that his wife was going a little bit deaf. But he was a sensitive sort of a husband, and he thought he'd break it to her gently. Maybe he'd demonstrate it. So he stood in the kitchen while she was sat in the lounge, and he said, "Would you like a cup of tea?" Nothing. So he moves into the hallway, which is a little bit nearer. Says, "Would you like a cup of tea?" Again, nothing. So he moves into the sitting room, stands by her chair, and says, "Would you like a cup of tea?" His wife says, for the third time, "Yes, please." Now, you're probably thinking, what's that got to do with the parable? Well, actually, there is a point to this story, and there are things that are in common between the story and with the parable. For example, there's this little twist at the end of both of them, which sort of takes you by surprise. Jesus meant the parable to be a surprise, a shock to the listeners, some of which, actually, we may not spot in 2026. They might have heard, the people who are standing there, what we just read in verse 14, and be thinking to themselves, how is it that the tax collector comes away in the right with God? On looking at the parable, I'm reminded of some verses from 1 Samuel, which should come up on screen. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So I want to look at this parable under four headings. And first is the two people approach God in verse 10. The second, the contrast between those two people. It's 11 to 13. And then thirdly, the verdict, which is in verse 14. And then what is the main point of this parable, which is really in verse 9 and 14. So first then, the two people who approach God, which is in verse 10. So let's think about them. So in verse 10 it says, they went up to the temple to pray. And what Jesus does, as you'll have noticed through the parable, is to contrast these two people. But there are things that the two people have in common with each other. They are both Jews, for example, so they would be praying in the same place. And they've both gone to the temple in order to pray to God, as they would have been taught to do. So they are both approaching God, and they're approaching him intentionally. This is what they intend to do. So they've come to the temple. Now we know, don't we, that through Jesus Christ and what he has done, we can pray anywhere. Doesn't have to be in a temple, doesn't have to be in a church. God is not confined, is he, to any particular place. But then again, there is something special about deliberately going somewhere in order to meet with God. Something special about making that your intention, as presumably you have today, as we come together to approach God, to seek him. Well, then in verse 11, it says that the Pharisee stood up. Now, notice it doesn't mean that the tax collector didn't stand up, because the tax collector was standing as well. It says so in verse 13, he stood. It is how the Jews would pray and still do in certain circumstances. So then, the two men are going to pray. They stood in the temple before God, and in that respect, they are the same. They have that in common. But at just about every other point, the two men could not be more different. So let's look at the contrast that there is between these two. Well, the Pharisee is a very religious man, one who keeps the letter of the law. He's a leader and he's respected by the people. They look up to him, even. Someone who you would expect to be in the temple. The tax collector, on the other hand, is a traitor to his religion, to his people, and to his country. He's taken money from his own people to hand it to the enemy and lined his pockets at the same time. He is despised by the people, and I can't imagine that he would be welcome in the temple at all. And as they pray, Jesus describes their body language. Often you can tell a lot by people before they even open their mouths, can't you? By their body language. So when Jesus says the Pharisee stood up, he's saying something about how he is standing. He's describing his body language. As we have noticed that they're both standing, probably he stood in a prominent place, as the Pharisees are said to do. He's upright, he's confident, he's proud even. He's looking up to heaven. He felt right at home here in the temple. Now, isn't that a lesson for us? Feeling at home in the church does not necessarily mean that you are closer to God. Whereas, actually feeling distinctly uncomfortable may mean you're a lot closer than you think. So the tax collector, he stands at a distance. He's standing, but his body language is completely different. He bows his head. Everything about him tells you that he doesn't want to be noticed. He doesn't want to be conspicuous like the Pharisee. He wants to be unnoticed. He would not even look up. He beat his breast, it says, in self-disgust. It seems it's not only the people who despise this man. He despises himself also. But then they speak. Let me read that. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He sort of lists what he's done, doesn't he? It's sort of like a self-pronounced eulogy. Here is why I'm such a good bloke. Have you noticed that everyone who has a eulogy is always a good person? Have you noticed that? Like, they don't know, doesn't ever say Joe Bloggs, he was a waste of space. Maybe that's just as well. He thanks God that he is not like other people. It's handy for him that the tax collector's standing there because he can point to them and say, oh, not like that. It's an advantageous comparison for him, isn't it? Now, the tax collector, on the other hand, says very little at all. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Verse 13. He doesn't have anything to say in his own favor. Nothing at all. It's like if you went for a job interview and they said, Andrew, why should we give you this job? And you say, I haven't a clue. So, he has nothing to speak for himself. He could think of no reason why God should listen to him, save one, God's mercy. God, have mercy on me, he says. The nature of God's himself is his only plea. So then let's look at the third point here, the verdict, which is in verse 14. Let me read that too. I tell you, this man, meaning the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be... Sorry, I lost my space there. Humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I imagine at the moment you sort of agree with all of this, that you agree with Jesus. Good one, Jesus, because the Pharisees are smug, arrogant, self-congratulating so-and-so. We don't like people like that. Maybe even you're thinking that the tax collector is a much more honest, humble, depending on what you believe, that actually you find it good that the religious do-gooder is the one who gets put down by Jesus. But if we stop there, then we miss something. Well, actually, perhaps two things, actually. Firstly, the parable is much more subtle than that because originally the listeners would have been shocked that Jesus, and Jesus intended that, and maybe rather conflicted because they would have wanted the tax collector to be the one who was condemned here. Can't quite see why that didn't happen. But, of course, we are not the ones who've been portrayed by this man, are we? We haven't had our money taken from us. Maybe a suitable illustration would be a people smuggler in 2026, making money out of people's misery with no regard to the safety of those people or regard to any other consequence that might happen as a result. So they were shocked, the people. And they would see that on the surface, at least, what the Pharisee said about himself was true, about the good things he has done, good things, albeit that he is annoyingly self-righteous about it. So they would really have to think hard about what exactly Jesus was getting at in this parable. Secondly, the chances are that we are much more like the Pharisee than we would like to think. Aren't we always making these little comparisons between us and other people? The failings of others make us feel a little bit better about ourselves somehow, like you're on a computer course and the person next to you is not keeping up and you are. Others' mistakes and inabilities tend to make us feel not so bad about ourselves. When I was quite a bit younger, I made the mistake of entering the dad's race in one of my children's sports days. I realized it was a mistake when I stood in the line, you know, where you start line. I looked along, the people had their trainers and their shorts on, they're getting in a pose to... They looked like they'd been training for about a month or something, and I was in my work gear with my best shoes. I was thinking this could go badly. And everybody's taking it very seriously. Even the teacher, she had sort of a starter gun thing. When it went off, it was sort of like whoosh, like I went in reverse or something. And but gradually I sort of got my head down and keep running, and somebody tripped over here, somebody fell over their nice Nike trainers, pulled a hamstring or something, and gradually I was going up the field until by the end of it I was in the middle, roughly halfway. And I felt good, but it was good really because somebody else wasn't doing so well. So we too also have lists, don't we, about the good things that we have done that we can drop into the conversation. We like people mentioning those things, makes us feel good. So maybe this parable is not so comforting as we might imagine. So then the fourth thing is the main point. So what is Jesus getting at in this parable? Well, the true meaning of the parable is shown by what Luke tells us at the beginning and ultimately by what Jesus does at the end, how he summarizes the parable. So in the beginning, read verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, as the Pharisee was, and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And then in verse 14, as we've looked at, but let's look at it again. I'll tell you, this man rather than the other went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Back in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." The Pharisee has justified himself to himself and to other people, but not before God. All this stuff he has listed, all the comparisons he has made, they haven't impressed God. So the central point then is about how you are justified before God. And at the end of time, when you stand before him, maybe even now as we hear or pray, where you come before him, on what grounds do you imagine that a holy God who looks at your hearts, who knows what we do and why we do it, what grounds do we believe we will be justified? Maybe the question I mentioned at the beginning sort of summarizes it. How is it that the tax collector went home justified? Because he hasn't done anything to deserve it. But of course, that is exactly the point, isn't it? He knows he is a sinner. It weighs him down. And he knows the only way that he can be justified before God is if God makes a way by which he can. But I don't want you to imagine for a minute that that is a comfortable place to be humbled like that. There's nothing easy about that. England men's cricket team did manage to win the fourth test in Australia, but not before they lost three in a row and the Ashes with it. There's nothing easy about being humbled. So many might find it difficult to come before God admitting that they have nothing to commend them. So the tax collector knows that the only way that he can be counted as righteous is if God makes a way by which he can. And as we are about to remember in the communion service today, the man Jesus who told the parable did just that, make a way by giving his life. So the tax collector and all who count upon his name can be counted as if they were righteous. Of course, Jesus died for the Pharisee as well. But the Pharisee's big problem is that he doesn't think he has a problem. Like the husband in my joke who thought it was his wife who was deaf when all along it was him. So I'm going to leave you with a question. It's a bit challenging question, but then I think Jesus meant the parable to be just that, challenging. So when you stand before God, and I believe sooner or later we all will, how do you think you will be justified? Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that we all here will come to you, humbly come to you, to seek your mercy and your forgiveness. And that we'll come to know you as our Saviour and the freedom that that brings. In Jesus' name, amen.